For over 20 years, I was figuring it out because there was one year that I wasn't quite working, that this is probably my 20th of these graduate recognition things. Some of them I have been in charge of, some of them Jason's kids were graduating, so he talked about them, but I have that, so that's, I've probably given 18 of these. This is probably, I was figuring out this is my 18th advice for seniors thing. Now, you also have to remember that for these seniors that are here today, they were in the kids ministry when I started here, all right? So I went to kids camp with these guys. Now, it's really funny to think about because I went to kids camp with these guys when my kids were still like, how old were my kids? My kids were still really young when I first came here. So Nathan was like just finished kindergarten. And so Noah was even younger. And so like I was thinking by the time they hit third grade, they were like mature people. And so like I ran kids camp like I ran youth camp that first year. And then I kind of realized, oh wait, but it worked out. These guys were fine. I didn't lose any of them. You know what I'm saying? And most of them are still around. And so, you know, it's like, I'm glad Kim was actually with me on that one because this girl started crying because she lost a tooth and the tooth fairy wasn't going to be able to find her, and I just did not know what to do. I was like, I don't know, Kim, you have this conversation with her. It wasn't any of these guys, but it's like, you have this conversation with her and tell her the tooth fairy can still find her and we'll be okay. But I was at a loss. And so it's been fun to watch them grow. You know what I'm saying? I will never forget that Kaylin one time told me that today I wasn't that great, but tomorrow I'm going to be awesome. You know what I'm saying? It's been like a recurring thing. Tomorrow I'm going to be awesome. It's been a recurring theme of who we are. And so it's been fun to share with them, to see them grow. And like there's been dozens and dozens and dozens, maybe even 100 people in this place that have helped them get to where they are. From Sunday school teachers to people who worked in the nursery when they were little, to people who have gone on trips with us, to people who just invested their lives in them. And so all of them would be sure to give you great advice, and I'm sure that they would love to come and do this, but it's a cool part of my job is I get to do this. And so if I was going to give you one piece of advice for you guys moving forward, it would be this: never stop asking questions. Jeremiah 6:16 says this. This is what the Lord says. Stand by the roadway and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Which is the way to the what is good? Then take it and find rest for your souls. That's kind of a little bit different version there than what you may have in your Bible, but I love this idea. And then the people protest. We're not going to do that. The people get mad. They're saying, we're not going to do that. But I think this bit of advice is probably the best advice I can give for anybody seeking out a new place in your life. And that is this: stand by the roadways and look. Seek the ancient paths. Figure out where the good way is. Ask where I should walk. Seek out, look, find, ask. That is what we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be people who are never stop asking and never stop seeking. Now, in the church that I grew up, or some of the, not necessarily the church, but the tradition that I grew up in, you weren't supposed to ask a lot of questions. God said it, I believe it, that's it. You know what I'm saying? That kind of traditional idea of this is what the Bible says and this is what it says, and you don't ever ask a question. And I, you know what I'm saying? And while I believe that truth is vital and is important, but truth that can't be questioned is not truth. All right, truth that can't stand up to me asking it a question is not truth. And I say this all the time to my students. If you have a teacher and you ask her a question and she gets mad because you ask a question, if you ask a good faith question, now, come on. I mean, we know you guys. Sometimes you ask questions on purpose to be mean. But you know, if you ask a good faith question and the teacher gets upset about it, it's because the teacher doesn't know. All right? So people who don't know get frustrated by questions. But people who know and know the truth and know who they are and secure in who they are, they're totally fine with questions. If you come up to me and ask me a question about some event in youth ministry and I look frustrated, it's because you're right, I haven't figured that out yet, all right? Now, I'm getting better at that now, but like, let's be honest. But if you come up to me and ask me a question and I was like, I've got it all figured out, I'd be happy to ask your question. Here, let me email you the email that I've sent out 14 times that you forgot to read. You know what I'm saying? And I will give you these things and be ready to go. Because we as a people understand that questions are important. It helps us to figure things out. And truth that can't be questioned is not truth. Because real truth, God's truth, who God stands up is, God has answers for that. Now, at some point in time, you're going to hit a wall, and then we'll get to this. You know what I'm saying? This is free here, okay? So this is extra sermon you get, so you don't have to pay me anymore for this one. But at some point in time, the answer to that question is going to be, you just got to have faith. Now, that will be an answer there, but God is willing to answer questions. And I think God invites us to ask questions. He says, seek out, know, seek me, look for me, try to find me, come look for where I am. Because I really think that asking questions reveals three big things, all right? So you have notes there. I think this is on your notes. Asking questions, the first thing it reveals is humility. Asking questions reveals humility. It's hard for us to admit we don't know something, all right? As an 18-year-old, you feel like you know everything. I understand, you know? And so we all understand. We've all been there. We've all been 18, a lot of us have been 25. A lot of us have been 35, and a lot of us have now getting close to 45. And some of you have been even older than me, and you look at me as a little 45-year-old person. You're like, you're so young. You'll know so much more later. I get that, all right? So don't ever think that you know everything. Always keep asking questions, and asking questions reveals humility. You're going to mess up. You're going to make wrong choices. You have limited information, so instead of keeping following that limited information, ask questions. Seek out the truth. Seek out to know things. So when you ask questions, you're revealing, I don't know. Now, when I was in college, it's a long time ago. It's hard to remember. When I was in college, I worked as I did summer missions in Panama City, and I worked on the beach, renting those chairs out, you know, the chairs that peel up, and they say rental all over them, you know. And people all the time, I would come up to them and say, hey, you're going to pay for this chair? And they go, oh, I have to rent this? I'm like, yes, of course you do, because it says rental over. But what I learned that summer at the beach was this, is that tourists just lose their mind. They just can't, you know what I'm saying? They just cannot answer. They don't know anything. They ask the dumbest questions all the time. And I remember that summer saying, I'm going to never do that. I'm always just going to go in like I know what I'm doing. And so for like 20 years, that's how I dealt with life. Until I finally realized, hey, wait, if you just ask a lot of questions and ask like you don't know anything, people just take care of you. I mean, like we're rolling, you know what I'm saying? You're just like, I roll into place. I'm like, listen, I have no clue what I'm supposed to do here. I don't know where the checkout is. I don't know where the stuff is. I don't know what's going on. Can you help me? And people look at you like, oh man, this poor guy. And they will help you, and they'll go get all your stuff for you. And you don't have to act like, oh, I've got it all together. Oh, I know what I'm doing. Oh, I know I'm important. No, you're just like, listen, I'm a fool and I need help. Can you help me? It works in like, you're in the, like, people, scary people. Everybody's like, act tough, act tough. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna go the other way. Dude, I'm lost as an Easter egg. Can you help me out? You know what I'm saying? And it may just be because I'm big and nobody's going to, like, try to mug me. But, like, I mean, people that you would be like, man, that guy looks scary. No, listen, I'm lost. I have no clue what I'm doing. Can you help me? Come on, man. Sure, let's go. Let's go find where you got to go. It works every time. Why? Because asking questions reveals humility. And it puts you actually a step under somebody. It's like, listen, you know something I don't know. And that's hard for us. It's hard for us to admit, hey, you know something that I don't know, because I want to seem like I'm the smart one. I got it all together. I got the answers. But no. Asking reveals humility. And that's who we're supposed to be with God. We're supposed to say, you know what, God? I don't know. I'm going to ask you because you do know. And that's who we are. Second thing that asking reveals is asking reveals hunger. It reveals a hunger. It reveals this desire to know more. Now, that's me. I'm a bit of an information junkie. I always want to know more. I always want to know how something works. I always wanted to figure out why it's that way. The greatest invention in the world was a smartphone, not because I get to talk to people on social media. That stuff's terrible. It's ruining the world. But because it's got Wikipedia on it, and that is the greatest thing ever. The fact that I can pick up my phone and Google and answer and get it immediately. Like yesterday, we were talking about chicken hawks, and I'm like, what is a chicken hawk? Is a chicken hawk a real bird, or is it a bird that eats chickens, or is it a bird that looks like chickens? I didn't know. So I was like, I don't know. Let me look it up. By the way, chicken hawk is one of about three different hawks that actually eats other fowl, and so it can tend to eat chicken. So that's where you need to know. But I love that stuff. I love asking and knowing, because I have a hunger to know more. When I was in Tanzania and we didn't have internet on our phone, like, I kept pulling my phone out of my pocket and internet's not working. Like, I was like, I want to know something. It's like, what's in this dish? I don't know. Let's look and see. And I would be like, what's this thing? What's that made of? Where are we? What's this street? I would continually want to know, because I have a hunger to know new stuff. And the same is true when it comes to God. When we ask God questions, we let him know, we reveal our hunger to know more. The same is true in relationships. If you go out with somebody, maybe your first date with somebody, and you're sitting there across the table from them, and all they're doing is telling you about themselves, they have no hunger to know anything more about you, all right? So just kind of go, thank you, it's been fun. I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, I can't swipe left or right anymore because you're in front of me, but you know what I'm saying, next time you call, I'm not answering the phone, all right? Because you don't have a hunger to know more, all right? And asking questions, those reveals our hunger. Third thing it does, asking questions reveals our hope. It reveals our hope. Our hope that there is something more, that there is something better, that there is something different, that this actually has an answer. Because a lot of times I think we hit a place in our lives and we think, this doesn't have an answer. There's no answer to this. This is broken. Or we think, is there more to life than this? We've been living for a while and life has beaten us down and we think, is there more to life than this? Or we think, does this injustice really exist in the world? This brokenness, this pain, is this how it's supposed to be? And we ask questions and we say, is this really how the world is supposed to be? And that reveals our hope that maybe the answer is no. Maybe there is a truth. Maybe there's an answer there. Maybe there's more there. And so when we ask God questions, we are coming to him humbly. We're coming to him with a hunger and we're revealing that we hope for more. We hope for an answer. So we should be people who are asking questions. Someone who has been told to be quiet all their life will eventually just stop asking questions. If you just keep telling them no, 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 they're eventually just going to stop asking questions. And the remarkable thing about God is this, is that God doesn't say stop asking. God says ask, seek, come find me. When people ask about me, tell them. God says seek me out. And over and over again, God is calling us to ask questions. And God wants us to seek him more, to know him more, to become more of who it is. And so I think there are three big questions that we need to ask. The first question is this. We need to ask the question, who are you? Now, that's not who are you. That's asking God. God, who are you? All right? Because if we continually search after more and more and more of God, we can look after God forever, and we will never find the edges of God. We can never like kind of clear it off and find where the edges are of God. God is infinitely knowable. I like that phrase. I was typing this week and that phrase hit me and I was like, I really like that phrase. God is infinitely knowable. In other words, God can be known by you and you can know lots about God, but you can always know something else about God. God is infinitely knowable. You can still learn more. That tomorrow there is more. Now, eventually, if you keep learning things, you can hit the end of the internet, like that old commercial used to say. It would be very hard these days to get there, but it could happen, all right? There is a finite level of knowledge in this world. Now, it's more than any of us can process, but it's finite. But God is infinitely knowable. That every moment that you know something about God, God says, here, let me show you a little bit more. God, let me show you a little bit more. And God invites us to know him. A bunch of verses about this. Exodus 12, 26. When your children ask you, what does this ritual mean? He says that. And he says, go on and tell them what it means. The Exodus 13, 14. In the future, when your sons ask you, what does this mean? Say to them, by the strength of his hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 6, 20. When your sons ask you in the future, what is the meaning of the decrees, statutes, and ordinances of the law? With the Lord, our God has commanded you. Joshua 4, 6. This will be a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? You see over and over again, God assuming that people are going to ask questions about him. He just makes that assumption. He says, listen, people are going to ask about me, so you better be willing to talk about me. But God makes the assumption that people are going to be asking the question, who is God? Who are you? God assumes that because it's so fundamental to who we are. It seems like such a simple question, but in the answers to that is the key to everything that you're really seeking for. I mean, really, this question, the answer to this question really answers almost every other question you could ever ask. Whoever you are in this place, whatever you're searching to find, whether you're looking for love or contentment or healing for a broken heart, or purpose, or a place to fit in the world, whatever it is you're searching for, the answer to who is God is an answer for that. Think about that. Whatever it is you're looking for, the answer to who is God is an answer for that. If you're looking for love, God is love. If you're looking for contentment, God is enough. If you're looking for healing from a broken heart, God is peace. God is healing. God is love. God is all of these things poured in there. I really miss the Old Testament practice of giving God names. You see, every time in the Old Testament when something new would happen and they would learn something new about God, they'd give him a new name. They'd call him Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Nisi or El Shaddai. They would give him all these names, God who can provide, the God who sees me, the God who's with us. They would tell him all these names because when something answered the need in their heart, they said, oh, that's who God is. God is the Almighty, but God is also the loving. God is the forever and ever, but God is also the God who sees me. And the answer to this question, who are you, God, over and over again, answers the question to the deep needs in your heart. I need help. I need a place. I need healing. I need something. And God's saying, listen, the more you know about me, the more you know that I am the answer to those. And so the first question that we have to ask God is, who are you? Show me who you are. I've gotten to the edges of what I've seen. I need to break out of those edges because the God who I'm following right now is not strong enough to walk me through this. Now, I just like, be really honest. Have you ever hit a place where you're like, you know what? The God who I'm following right now is not big enough to handle this problem. Now, I honestly believe that God is big enough to handle any problem, but the God I'm following right now is not big enough to handle this problem. And so you have to go, God, I know that you're bigger than this. I know because I believe and I have faith that you're bigger than this. So if you really are bigger than this, who are you? Are you big enough to handle this pain? Are you big enough to handle this funeral? Are you big enough to handle this separation? Are you big enough to handle this rejection? God, are you big enough to handle that? Because right now I'm looking like I can't handle it. And I've looked at my life and I know that I'm not big enough to handle it. And honestly, the God that I've been worshiping for the past few years, I don't know if he's big enough. So God, who are you? Are you big enough to handle that? And the really cool thing is that God says, sure, ask me. Ask me if I'm big enough, because guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you that I'm big enough. I'm going to show you that I'm enough to walk you through that. Yes, the God that you were worshiping yesterday may not have been big enough, but I'm about to break that image that you have of God, that idol that you have of me, that God that's only there on Sunday, that God that's only there every now and then. I'm going to bust that up, and I'm going to be the God who walks with you every day, and I'm going to show you that I'm big enough. God, who are you? And that is the answer to the questions that we have. We ask God, who are you? And when we see that, the next question we have to answer as well, God, if that's who you are, then who am I? If who you are, then who am I? Coming face to face with God helps us get a new perspective on who we are. For Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw God, he realized he was a sinner. For Peter, he saw God, realized he was a sinner. This is who we are, but it gets us a new perspective. It reminds us, oh yeah, he's much better. A lot of people look at me and say, Shane, you can play guitar, right? I'm like, yes, I can play guitar. For everything that happens in church, I can probably play guitar. And then I say something like, you know what? I really miss like guitar solos. I miss rock music and guitar solos because that's who the person I am. I miss a good. And they're like, well, you just play guitar, play them. And I'm like, I can't play that. It's like because I have heard these people play. And I'm not even talking like Prince level, like great level, Hendrix level people. I'm talking just somebody who can play a good guitar lick. I have heard them play and I realize they can play guitar. I can play chords. You know what I'm saying? They can play guitar, I can play worship songs, which I'm fine with that, and that's who I am, and if I put the time into it, I probably still couldn't, but I could try and get better. But when you realize, when you see somebody great, you go, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like. That's how it's supposed to be. And when we see God, and we come to face with God's greatness, we look at ourselves and go, oh, that's who I am. I'm not some puffed up amazing person. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to be right all the time. I don't have to be the strongest person in the world because I see God and I am nowhere close to that. So let me figure out who I am. And I ask the questions, who I am. And we ask God, so God, who am I? And he's like, listen, you're a sinner, but you're loved. And you're somebody who maybe can't do a lot of stuff, but you're valuable. And you're somebody who is not powerful enough to walk through this hard time, but you're not alone. And you ask God, so God, who am I? And he says, you're loved, you're valuable, you're not alone. And you say, well, how can you prove that? And he says, look at the cross. Look at Jesus Christ and what he did for you. Look at how much value I have on your life. Look at how much I care about you. I care about you enough to send my only son to die on the cross for your sins. I care about you only enough so that you can come and know me. And then he says, not only that, I created you. I made you. I think you're amazing. I think you're beautiful. We ask, God, am I enough? And he comes back again and again, and the answer is always, in him you are. God, am I worth enough? In me you are. God, am I loved? In Christ you are. Am I valuable? Yes, in Christ you're valuable. Am I worthy? Yes, because God has made us worthy in Christ. When we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can understand who I am is a child of God. I always, for the longest time, I would tell my kids this every night, and then they got older, and it's kind of harder. The schedules are a little different, but it's still the greatest advice I have for anybody figuring out who they are, is that you are made by God. You are a unique creation, the product of his perfect imagination. You are being pursued by the love of God each and every moment of your life. He will never leave you alone. You are valuable because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are valuable because he created you. You are valuable because he has chosen you. You have been picked by God to be a part of his great adventure. He's a place for you that only you can feel. He has called you by name and set you apart to follow him in places where only you can go. You are a warrior, a mighty force against the powers of evil. You have been chosen to be a part of God's plan to change the world. Who am I? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who am I? I am part of God's plan to change the world. Who am I in Christ? I am a child of God. That's who I am. And so we ask God, who are you? And then the next thing we need to ask is who am I? And when we ask that, then the next thing we got to ask is, so where do I go? Where should I go? In the light of God's greatness and God's healing and God's amazingness and the light of God's equipping me and giving me value and making me important, then where should I go? We see that back in that Jeremiah passage. People are like, he says, no, ask and seek the ancient paths, but it doesn't end there. You have to walk in them. You have to also be willing to walk in the ancient paths. You have to also be willing to take those steps and follow God. God tells us not only to seek them, but also to walk with them. We don't only figure out who God is and who we are. We also go where God calls us to go. You see, one of the things that we talk about every week on Wednesday nights is we have this little a prayer that we say to God every week. And part of that is, God, shape us into a people. Help us become a people who are part of your plan to change the world. That we honestly believe that God has a plan to make the world, to reach the world, to tell everybody about Jesus, to make the world different and better. And we see that in Jesus coming and saying he's going to bind up the brokenhearted and bring sight to the blind. And we see Jesus bringing this message of hope. And then he calls us to be a part of that. And I honestly believe that everybody in this room can be a part of God's plan to bring hope and healing and purpose to the world. That you can be that, and that God has called you to be that. And when you realize how great and big God is, and you realize that who you are in Christ, then you're going to go, well, so where should I go? Who should I go tell about this? Who should I go share with this about? Who should I go find and share and tell this story about? Because we've realized how great God is. We've realized that God has equipped us and called us. And so now where should we go? I think there's one more question. I didn't put it on the thing. I thought that it would be a good question to ask as well, just to mess with you, make you pull your notes out and write something that's not on a blank. But the rest of the thing, we have to ask for what we need. And so when we ask God, where are you? We ask God, where am I? Who are you? We ask God, who am I? Where should I go? And then we go, okay, God, so I need what I need to get there. And that's a hard thing for us to do. We got to get back to humility, and humility reminds us of that. But if I'm going to go there, then I need certain things to get there. So God, just help me with my needs. Luke 11:10, for whoever asks receives, and the one searches finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus says, listen, ask, seek, and it will be open. You will be given this. John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. We are to ask God for what we need. We're going to ask God to seek him out, to find him, that God has called us to do great things, and it's okay to then go, okay, God, you have called us to do great things, so help us get there. We have become such a, for a long time in America, we've been such a pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps people that we're terrified to ask for help, but part of asking is doing that. We ask God, hey, I need to know who you are, I need to know who I am, I need to know where I should go and who I should tell, and then I need you to help me get there. I need you to be the one that provides for me. You've got to give me the resources. You've got to help me out. Now, God may in that say, okay, look, I'm going to give you this job, and I'm going to give you these things. But it's okay to say, God, help us get there. We are to be continually seeking after God. And asking God for stuff reveals again our humility. It reveals again our hunger, our desire to do more. We should be a people who are continually seeking after God, and all we have to do is ask. I don't know who you are today. I know some of my seniors, where they are. They're making some choices to go the next stage of their life, and it's always fun to see 18-year-olds, and they have it all planned out and ready to go, and those of us who are older are like, good job. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad you have it planned out. And we'll see what God does with that plan. It may work, and it may totally change, but that's the fun part of seeking God. But we know that. I don't know where else you are in this place. I don't know if you walked in here, and you have big questions that need to be answered. You have those questions of, God, can you handle this kind of question? You have these big questions of, what should I do next kind of questions. You have these, who am I in this place, God, kind of questions. And I think God is asking you in this place, not with a bunch of answers. God is meeting you in this place, not with a bunch of answers, but with an invitation to ask questions. That it's okay to say, God, I don't understand. It's okay to say, God, I am hurting and lonely and broken. It is okay to say, God, I have messed up and it seems like there's no way I'm ever getting back. It is okay to say, God, can you still love me? Those questions, God is inviting us in these moments to bring whatever hurt and pain and stuff we have and walk into this place and saying, God, can you? And I think, I don't know who you are. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I think we've gotten so wrapped up trying to figure out the what that we've forgotten the who. That we get so wrapped up in the God can you that we forget the who God is. And so in this moment, that's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you just to ask God, who are you? Who am I? And God, can you really help me with this deep need that I have in my heart? Some of you, the answer to the third question, where should I walk, means you need to be walking in this church. That God has called you to walk in this place, and you need to come in just a moment. Brother Jason's going to be in the front, and you say, this is where I want to walk. This is the church I want to be a part of. This is where I want to join. Some of you need to be at the altar and just asking God questions. Just saying, God, who are you? Are you big enough to handle this? And let God pour over you with the truth of his answers. Some of you need to be responding in about 100 different ways. I don't know all those things, but I know that God has called us in this moment to respond. And so if you would pray with me as the team comes to do the song stuff. Father God, I thank you for who you are. You are a God who is bigger than I can see. Father, as someone who likes to have everything in a line, God, I'm overjoyed by that. I'm overjoyed by the fact that you call us to more. God, I pray that you will continue to help us to be more, come help us to seek you more, to know you more. Father, in this place, the people here are making choices about hard things that are going on in their lives. God, or just choices to join us here as part of friendship, God. I pray that you will help them to seek you, help them continue to seek your face. In your name we pray. Amen.